Climate crisis is here. The scientific community is in official agreement. Climate change has indeed crossed all markers and is now in crisis stage. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. The University of Michigan has developed a tool called the Michigan Environmental Project. Now, it allows researchers to highlight the areas and peoples in Michigan most vulnerable to the adverse impacts of climate change. Our guest today is Trish Komen, and Trish is a research investigator in environmental health sciences at the U of M School of Public Health, and thank you so much for the time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Before we start exploring climate impacts in Michigan, what exactly is the Michigan Environment Project tool?
We created the My Environment tool to help communities better understand climate change impacts in Michigan. We looked at a variety of data sources related to the built environment or things around you, such as tree cover and pavement, related to people and their susceptibility and related to temperature. And then we put that all together in a map so that people can explore the information further.
Where are you mining this data from?
We use publicly available information, including the U.S. Census Bureau data regarding populations in Michigan. We were fortunate to be able to use the American Community Survey, which is publicly available part of the U.S. Census. We also use the National Land Cover Database and then Centers for Disease Control and Prevention information, the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. We use that for some of the disease prevalence that was used in the susceptibility for people. And then for climate change data, we used modeling done from GLESA, which is the Great Lakes Integrated Science Assessment. These are pretty complicated climate models. We used ensemble modeling to be able to better represent future temperature in the Great Lakes area. Part of our research was working with local community groups, and sometimes this sort of climate modeling is beyond their technical capability. Mm-hmm. So the partnership works pretty well to allow us to be able to bring that in a more immediate way to community groups.
So you're going to all these external sources to collect the data and then integrate it into a map that works and is a usable and interactive tool. Is there more than one department or more than one school at Michigan contributing to the project as well?
Yes, we actually had a couple different departments working on this within our School of Public Health. And then we also had students who are involved in the urban planning program here. And we also had several community groups that participated. And one of the things that was so important about having the community present every step of the way in developing the hypothesis and creating the tool was that way we know it will be useful to people in the community. We had a chance to do a science cafe in the greater Detroit area. The Detroit Hispanic Development Corporation hosted us at their local venue to be able to talk to people about the tool, show it off, get feedback, and improve it. So it really helps us a lot to have community partners.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Trish Komen. Trish is a research investigator in environmental health sciences at the U of M School of Public Health. Michigan Environmental Project can tell us now that most of the cities in Michigan will deal with harsh consequences of climate change. What does that look like as we head into the next decade?
Well, climate change is already affecting Michigan, mm-hmm. and it poses significant health challenges for local decision makers. These local decision makers need to identify and prepare for and respond to human health impacts such as heat stress vulnerability. So we already know that that's occurring in our state, and our state government and local public health are trying to plan for that. We've had situations over the past several years in different places where they're dealing with heat stress related impacts. Heat stress vulnerability is an especially important outcome because it is something that can send vulnerable populations to the hospital, and heat is related to mortality. So in the study of the Chicago heat wave of 1995, some of the areas with the lowest mortality rates were also low-income communities that had social connectiveness. And so the heat waves in Chicago and Europe, like the recent one in Paris, mm-hmm. have resulted in thousands of deaths and increased hospitalization rates for respiratory and cardiovascular disease that occur as a consequence of extreme heat exposure, and that these effects are supposed to be increasing with climate change. And so we need to prepare for these impacts and try to mitigate them. And so what we're trying to do with our research is to help communities identify those areas that may need additional resources and policies targeted towards them to help avoid the worst outcomes.
You mentioned some of those who are impacted on the lower end of the socioeconomic scale. Are there others who are at more risk that we need to pay attention to?
Yes, certainly in our community, children, the elderly, people who work outdoors are at risk. Sometimes people who take certain medications may be at increased risk. People who are overweight or obese may also have difficulty processing heat. And we know that in our communities, certain types of physical structures, such as large areas of blacktop, pavement, lack of tree cover, lack of air conditioning access, for example, can also be factors related to heat. And all of those are things we can do things about to try to improve our communities. You know, you can't always do something about your age, but you can certainly improve your community to make it more ready for heat stress vulnerability.
Our conversation with Trish Coleman continues on 89.1 WEMU's Issues of the Environment. Right now we have high water levels on the Great Lakes. We're seeing more frequent and more severe storms. Some of the impacts of the climate crisis, as we mentioned, already here. What do we anticipate the changes will be over the next two decades? Are you modeling that far forward?
Yes. So when we think about climate, it's quite different than weather. Climate is what you expect, and weather is what you get. And so the climate modeling that we're looking at looks at the future in terms of 30-year averages. For that reason, it's what you're going to expect in the future. And we know for Michigan, for example, that our climate will have weather that's going to look a lot more like Oklahoma in the future. And it's especially important that we think about mitigating greenhouse gas emissions now to avoid the worst effects.
So you've already touched on this, but the Michigan Environmental Project is something you believe and can and should be used by policymakers to both make the decisions to slow and offset climate impacts, but to work ahead and appropriate climate adaptation as well. Have you found that those policymakers, those lawmakers, are indeed using this tool to do just that?
Well, we're starting with local public health, and we're also trying to work with community groups so that they can better understand the particular situations that they face. We haven't had a chance to talk much with state and national policymakers on this, but clearly there's going to be a role for different states to step forward and start doing this sort of planning. So, and I think that especially for vulnerable communities, a lot of the solutions are very local. Our emission solutions may be more regional and national in nature, but a lot of the things that people can do now to help ameliorate the effects of heat stress vulnerability can be done at the local level, too.
Based on your research, based on what you know about the present and our upcoming future, if you had the power, you and your colleagues, to unilaterally make some policy changes to ensure a better environmental and public health future, what would you do now?
That's a great question. I think that the science is showing us that mitigating and preparing for climate change should be a top priority for urgent action. And it's especially important for public health. The connection between reducing our reliance on carbon and fossil fuels and public health is really important. There are also disparities in terms of health outcomes and environmental qualities for communities in Michigan. We saw that in our study. And those are actionable. And so as we're making these changes, it's also important to be thinking about racial equity, socioeconomic issues, and trying to think about ways to build the most equitable solutions for climate change in the future.
Sometimes we find ourselves working in silos, and there are a bunch of groups working on those specific issues, but we are moving towards a time where it becomes increasingly important to put it all together and work in conjunction with one another. Are you seeing that we're heading the right direction on that front?
I think increasingly climate change and environmental issues are very multidisciplinary. Our team certainly was. And as we are talking with others about the effects of climate change and health, there's increasingly efforts across disciplines. And I think that that's a really positive step.
So after our conversation today, a lot of folks are going to go and they're going to take a look at the tool you've created. It is interactive. After they do that, do you want that to serve as a call to action on an individual and a community basis?
I think as people learn more about climate change and the connection to health, that they are going to become more interested in how they can participate in the solutions. And I think that's going to be a really important phase, especially among students. Climate change has become a rallying point and something that they're very interested in pursuing. I think there's a lot of great work going on to try to provide solutions, emission reductions, and also ways to think about protecting vulnerable groups and improving health in our community. And so I really encourage people to take a look at the research that we have, to take a look at the maps, and to take the next step to try to become more active in their community on these topics.
I thank you so much for the time today, the information, and spreading a little bit of your knowledge out into the community.
Great. Well, thank you, Dave, so much. I really appreciate the chance to talk today.
That is Trish Komen. Trish is a research investigator in environmental health sciences at the U of M School of Public Health. For more information on today's topic and a link to all the work that Trish and the team at the U of M are doing, check out our website at WEMU.org. Issues of the Environment, it's a regular Wednesday feature and is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commission. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.